The Hollis City Affairs will please come to order. This is March 25th, 2010. We only have one item on the agenda today, and that's SB 43, which pertains to the second verse, proposed second verse to the Alaska State song. And would you like to come forward, please? Let me take a quick look here. Do we have a CS or anything that needs to be adopted?
No.
So we're ready to go. Okay, would you please present the bill?
Yes, thank you. For the record, my name is Michael Rovito, staff to Senator Linda Menard. The senator sends her regrets for not being here. She's running the Senate State Affairs meeting right now. I'll be real brief.
Just one moment, please.
Do you need to announce who's here in the upper court?
Oh, I beg your pardon. My trusty friend here, I didn't announce who's here. Representative Peterson on my left, Representative Grunberg, Representative Gatto, Vice Chair, Representative Policy, and myself, Bob Lynn, and my chief of staff, and I have. Okay, and Representative Wilson is excused, and so is Representative Johnson. I apologize. Please continue.
Thank you.
Start over.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be brief because there are a lot of folks that want to talk, and I know we got some time constraints. Senate Bill 43 will give recognition to the Alaska Native community and Benny Benson by adding a second verse to the Alaska flag song. This bill does not change the initial verse of the song, but simply adds to it. Just some brief history. The second verse was written by the late Carol Beery Davis in one night when she was 95 years old back in 1987. The second verse adds 12 lines and pays tribute to the aforementioned people, but also to the young lad who designed the flag, Benny Benson. Ben Benson, of course, came up with the Big Dipper and North Star against a dark blue background for the flag.
Which people was that? You said, was it, say, Athabascan, did you? What did you say?
No, Native people.
All Native?
Yes, okay. Native community in general. This bill has been introduced before in the legislature, but it's not seen its total passage. I believe the last time it was it passed the House but did not pass the Senate. This time it's the opposite. It's passed the Senate, and now it's coming into the House. I think summing up, one good quote to give about this bill is what Senator Albert Kukesh said on the Senate floor, and I'm quoting here. He said, "This is a little step, but it recognizes a Native person who designed the Alaska flag. It recognizes a song that says there will be no bars in our culture. That culture will be elevated." And that's really something that sums up my boss, Senator Menard's, feelings on this bill very succinctly. So with the passage of this bill through the House, it will be put in the statute and formally recognized by the legislature as the second verse to the flag song. I know some of these wonderful Alaskans behind me want to speak to this bill today, so I'm going to end my comments there. But Senator Menard is hopeful that this committee will move the bill along and, hopefully that it passes the House and becomes a reality. So I'll close my comments there. And
yeah, thank you very much. I'd also like to recognize Representative Johnson has joined us, and Representative Grunberg will be back at the appropriate time. Any questions for the sponsor? If not, I would invite, I guess I have a list here. Is Constance Davis here?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And I would, we need to adjourn at 10 o'clock. If possible, and the time permits, I'd like to take action on this bill one way or the other today. So please, keep your comments brief. You know, sometimes we can love a bill to the point where we can't pass it.
Well, my name is Connie Davis, and I'm a daughter of Carol Beery Davis. And I would like to say a few words on the relationship between the song and the flag and my family. Mother and Marie Drake arrived in Juneau about the same time. They were lifelong friends, and also Eleanor Dusenberry came a few years later, and they became friends of hers, but she lived in Haines. And Marie was able to get a job as secretary to the Commissioner of Education. And my mother, of course, came for a 3-month job with the Palace Theater to play the pipe organ. and that lasted 7 years until the talkies came in, and then she stayed on for 71 years. It became very obvious that Alaska needed a flag. Governor Parks had visited Washington, and he came back with a challenge to get a flag so that it could be placed in the rotunda of the Postmaster General's office in the old post office building. So he immediately contacted the Commissioner of Education. Also, he contacted the American Legion because they were prominent all over, their posts were prominent all over the state of the territory of Alaska. And at that time, they decided on having a contest, and the deadline for all the schools involved was to be March 1st. So this month, we are celebrating the end of the contest, and it's been 83 years. And my father was on the committee to choose the flag. So that is also one of the interests and one of the historical facts that we have always talked about. The flag was adopted by the legislature in May, so early in the fall, they were talking about sending school children around Alaska a small flag and a copy of the Flag Act. Now, Marie thought that it would not be a good idea to send a Flag Act that would cause the children not to be too happy to have to memorize it. So she suggested that they needed something like a jingle, something they could sing or chant and read and understand. So that's how that, and of course the commissioner said, you do it then, you go ahead and do it. So that's how it started, and we all became very, very happy about the song. And I'm sure that Marie today would agree that something was left out of that. So I'm glad my mother went ahead and did that verse when approached about it. I think that's about Eleanor and her composition. The flag became very popular in a short period of time, and Eleanor had to leave Alaska, and she was on a ship going south when she saw a picture of the flag and a copy of the verse in a book, a magazine, and it was a very emotional time for her, and she decided that she would start composing a song. So that was the beginning of that. I think that would be the main points I wanted to bring out. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer.
Appreciate it. That's just fascinating. Thank you. Any questions? Mr. Davis? Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I'm going to go, if I may, to the phone for Lorraine Hausman in Anchorage. Are you there?
I'm here.
Yes, ma'am. Please give your name and your affiliation and give your comments to the committee, please.
My name is Lorraine Hausman, and I'm representing myself as an Alaskan.
Okay.
I'm calling from Anchorage, Legislative Information Office. And I'm calling in regards to the flag, Senate Bill 43.
Okay. Good idea.
And can I make my comment?
Yes, please.
I feel really rushed. I know you guys have to get to your party.
If there's a party, I've not been invited. I don't know anything, anything about
well,
it. We have floor
I heard
sessions.
You were having a big shindig over there at the mansion.
That shindig has passed, and I missed it myself.
Darn it.
Yeah, it was coffee with
quick.
The governor. And I missed it.
Oh, you missed out. I'm calling in, I'm in opposition of Senate Bill 43, the addition of the second verse to the Alaska flag song. And I grew up in Kodiak. I have a history in Alaska back to the early 50s. I knew Benny Benson, knew his daughter Charlotte. She babysat for me. That's my history. I'm concerned that this is getting ramrodded through. I'm concerned that it has been non-inclusive in all the statements in the past that have been made. It sounds to me like a coalition of legislators, Native legislators, decided a second verse was needed. They decided where it was supposed to come from and thought a non-Native should write it. And they decided what was going to be in it and what was going to be passed. And regardless of who wrote it, the song was over 30, 40 years old by the time Helen Berry Davis wrote it. She's not here to speak for herself. I don't believe that we've had enough time for this. For a state song that's been around for this long, for the whole state to be involved in, it's been put through real quick. It has not been taken around the state. It is not familiar in all the schools. I've checked. My daughter is a teacher, has been for 10 years. I think it needs a little bit more time, and I'd like to see a little bit more input on it before it is passed. And I don't want to make it a issue. I think it's become political, and I think the new way of inclusion and no bars would be to give it a little bit more time and let a few more people see it and come in on it. So I'm in opposition of it, and I'll shut up. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comment. Any questions? Thank you again, Ms. Hausman. Next, we have, looks like Marie Olson. Are you just answering questions, or did you wish to speak?
My name is Marie Olson. I was born here in Juneau, November 28, 1924. I remember Carol Berry Davis. I've been to her house and listened to some of the poems that she wrote. At that time, I think I might have been 11 years old. I had never heard a poem, and I learned to appreciate poetry from Carol Berry Davis. There are a lot of other things I could probably tell you about Carol Berry Davis. She was a wonderful woman. And so was her husband, who was a photographer. I have pictures that Trevor took and some very interesting stories when he told about the little lake, that's Auk Lake. That's my cultural area. And he was the one that brought it in the forefront. I support getting this second verse in, not because I'm Native, but because I appreciate what she's written. The written word is much more important than feelings. It's much more important because it speaks from her heart. She's telling you something about the state of Alaska. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So, any questions? Thank you very much. You know, one thing I like about Alaska is, you know, what a new state we are, and have
right.
People who here testifying who knows the pioneers, who knows who started this place. That wouldn't happen in any of the other states.
I'm real fast. I'm Italian. Connie Monroe.
My Italian staffer just walked in, so he's smiling and laughing back there.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I've been here since 1971 and very involved with politics as a citizen. I am a member of Camp 2, Alaska Native Sisterhood. And many years ago, Representative Elvin Osterbach.
But I forgot
yeah.
to have you put your name on the record for our people. So you can be on the record.
I did.
Cheers.
You did? Okay, thank you. I beg your pardon.
Elvin Osterbach and Frank Ferguson and Philip Guy and I had talked about a second verse contest. I'm answering this to the response from the person who just spoke. And they thought about it for a whole session and then decided that they felt that the first verse was written by Marie Drake. It was not a contest, and that perhaps we ought to wait until there is a gift from someone who feels that there should be a second verse honoring Alaska Natives. They didn't think it was their purpose to do so themselves, to talk about themselves. And when Carol Berry Davis, who was very involved, by the way, in the first verse, who wrote the first book on the Alaska flag song, it's been published, I think, three or four times, provided that verse after she had thought about it for almost over a decade. And it was written before I was to move to Boston when I lost my job and we had the big crash. And I not only highly respect our late House of Representatives, but I really respect that beautiful verse that does rhyme, and hope that my representatives sitting in front of me from Homer and from North Pole and from Anchorage and Wasilla will also vote for it again. We've been working on this for many years, and it would be such an honor to pass the House again, as you have been the leaders to do so in the past. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Thank you. Connie Monroe. Connie, are you anybody?
I'm Connie. That was
you're Connie. Okay. I guess I missed that. Okay. Michelin Kuntz. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Very close. Michelin is actually.
Michelin. I like that.
Thank you.
I like, especially like the Lynn part.
Okay. Good morning. My name is Michelin Kuntz McGee. I was born and raised here in the Juneau area. I also serve as president of Alaska Native Sisterhood Grand Camp. I serve on the Heritage Board for Gold Belt. And I am here. We love our song, the Alaska State Song. From a little girl, I was able to sing it. We love our song. And the second verse, it, as my sister before me, it's just beautiful. I believe it's already there. I think we just need to put it out there. It's, I can't say how many Native people, how many Native children would be even more prouder of our state and the people who run it. On behalf of Alaska Native Sisterhood Grand Camp, I would like to support this on behalf of myself and my sisters. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have Carol DeBrine, Carol.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for testifying. Your name, please.
Trebian. Trebian.
One more time.
Trebian.
Trebian.
Yes.
Okay. Please give us your testimony.
I'm here to support the second verse because it speaks to what someone said here to begin with. It speaks to the spirit of Mrs. Davis's heart that she had for the Native people. And I know this personally because she was my advocate all through music school in Chicago where her daughters went to music school. I was her music student for about 6 years or so. And it was her encouragement that kept me out there to go to school. In those days in the 50s, there was still a lot of overt racism happening. and to everyone. But Chicago was rather clean. It was a pleasure for me to be there. I hate to use the word escape, but that's actually what I did, to go that far to school. Because racism, any one of us here can testify to how much that affects you. But she kept me there just with a few words every once in a while, and with a lot of financial help. She was my advocate. I got through it, and I credit her with my ability to even reach retirement in this past few years. I'm a retired teacher. I stayed with the music and used it as well as enjoyed it, and I'm still a working musician today. And it was because of her. She was our advocate, and I believe that the second verse is necessary to express not only her feelings, but all of ours, yours, when you really think of it. And it's a huge, huge thing to express. And I will just say that I would like that second verse to be in there, because it says who we are. And I really thank Ms. Davis here for her mother's influence and work to bring this bar. It's a long ways since the early 50s, and some in here have really, really suffered from the racism that was happening in the ancient days here in Juneau. But it's not only just Mrs. Davis, it's our parents who worked to get us here today to this point where we can say what we feel about it. And that we never gave up. She never gave up. She had our hearts in her hands at times. And it was always that strength of spirit that she knew so well to express, especially in her poetry and in this verse. So thank you very much.
Before you go.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Reverend Gutter.
Yeah. I grew up in New York City at a time when racism was so common. There was Chinatown, Jew Town, Little Italy, Irish Town, and boy, the streets, the white line in the middle of the street, if you crossed it, you could be jumped, which meant you were knocked down and kicked and punched and not killed, but you remembered what happened. I'm not sure if that racism is gone now. I suspect it's greatly diminished, that the streets no longer, the boundaries of Chinatown have expanded, others have contracted, and nobody knows anymore where the boundaries are. Although Harlem is a place that has a boundary. But do you feel that racism against, you know, I don't have racism. I grew up with it. I didn't like it. Do you feel racism against natives is different today than it was, let's say, 10, 20, 30 years ago, that there is more or less or the same?
Well, I think I can express it this way. When I left to go to college in the early 50s, there still was no sign around the city to express our culture. And when I came back like 6 years later just to visit, there were beginnings of signs, the totems and you know, pictures and even slogans that came from us. And then I was gone for quite a while, and when I did come back after 40 years, everything was back the way I remembered it as a very, very young child. I attended a BIA school here at the elementary school. I was half the height I am now, but I had a gang. I had to have a gang to protect me as a small child, against the rest of the people who were half this or that. And I didn't suffer as much as, we can say, my older siblings. They were right in the midst of it. And my mother, who died at 78 in 1977, was an advocate and a fighter, and for our rights and for just the ability to walk down the street without something happening to us. So it's still here. Let's say it went underground.
That is so interesting. Thank you, Mr. Chair. That is so interesting because we had to be in a gang.
Yes.
It was not an option.
Yes, that's
if
right.
If you weren't in a gang, you were drafted.
That's right.
Or you were abused or
beaten
or something. Well,
this was at second grade, but it was still a gang. It was still a gang.
They called it a group or something, and then it became
a
gang.
Yes, a different name.
It became the mob.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
That's right.
Those lines.
That's right.
But
so, yes.
Are we trying to make our state, our country, 100% race-proof, or are we willing to say, listen, it will never go away? It will simply reach a platform, some level where it's acceptable. We know that 10%, 20% of the people will forever be racist, and we will never stop it. So are we after the 80%, or are we striving for the 100%, which we'll never get to?
I don't know about that. All I can say about us is that we were here, like my mother used to say, and this is what I always say to the tourists who come to the tram. I host the theater at the tram, and I make them understand they are in Tlingit 101 before the movie. And I tell them, because they will always ask, you know, how long has the native been here? And I would tell them what my mother told me. She said, never forget this, and she was very emphatic about it. The Tlingit was just were. And we still are. And we're still who we were when we just were.
Okay, so yes. Forever.
Yes, and we haven't lost anything. I don't think we've lost anything. Our language is you know, it's becoming stable, and it's amazing how many non-natives want to speak and do learn to speak. Our customs and manners are all still intact. We still are.
Mr. Chair.
Reverend Gatto.
It's a much tougher question now.
Okay.
This is going to be, are natives prejudiced against other natives?
Well, I think everyone is in the world is prejudiced against something or other and against others. I really think so. You know, you have your opinions. You have your likes and your dislikes and your preferences.
I was thinking about
and
groups, whether you're Tlingit or Athabascan, or are they?
No, I don't
like
think
like Italians so. Against Irish.
Yeah. Oh, and I don't think so. We, you know, my mother taught us to respect everything. Mm-hmm. We respect everyone, and we take care of it. I'm speaking about the Tlingit. We take care of everyone. Everything about everyone. We take care of even the space between us. And you know, that's how far it can go, how deep it can go. You know, but they have arguments. We have arguments. I've heard of arguments among the five indigenous groups in the state, you know. Even among the Eskimo, some of my Eskimo friends will talk, say something about some other Eskimo group that, you know. So I just think it's a human thing.
Yeah.
Sure. Reverend Gunn?
Quickly,
please.
I will. I just have to tell you.
I'd like to hear one more person. I'd like to get a brief comment from Senator Menard. Go ahead.
My entry into the state was 1968. So it was just before the pipeline. We didn't have all the activity. And my very first friend was Jake Tansey from Cantwell, who ran the gas station up there. Native guy. And he always had an open invitation for me. Always. Just forever. To just drop in whenever I was going through Cantwell and he'd make tea and some sort of something to eat all the time. So I certainly wasn't prejudiced. It kind of depended on him to help me find a moose and what to do after we found it. I mean, I learned it all from Jake. So that was a real connection between the white man and the native man that happened along, you know, in my life. That was sort of the beginning in Alaska. And I think it still goes on all the time that some of my best friends are, I think, from other cultures. They're the ones that intrigue me the most. So I don't have any bad thoughts about other cultures. But I don't, and you'll see my vote, I'm really not in favor of adding a verse. But I want you to know that it is not a reflection of an animosity to natives, and I will mention my reasons when that time comes.
Well, I think the natives will certainly appreciate having it not be a very general thing for Alaska, but they will certainly appreciate the note.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I'm going to ask Carolyn No to come up just very briefly. Then I'd like to get a. We're going to have to hold this bill today because we're just out of time. But I can assure the sponsor of the bill that it will be on the very next committee we have, which I expect to be Tuesday.
Please. Hi, my name is Carolyn No. I am a dance leader for a multicultural group. I was born and raised in Hono, Alaska, taught all my life about showing the highest respect for our culture. We stand very tall and proud. I urge you as legislators to pass Senate Bill 43. I feel very strongly about honoring my native culture and hope that you can do the same. I have always been very supportive to the native people and also to legislatures. I am very politically involved, and I hope that you guys would consider making sure that this passes. And I don't know if any of you guys seen For the Rights of All. Have any of you guys seen that? It's about our civil rights movement, and if you guys would like to get a copy of that, I would be glad to get that to you. But I hope that this Senate Bill 43 would pass.
Thank you very much. Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maybe she could give that to Nancy, and Nancy could distribute it to the members of the committee.
That would be fun. Could you do that?
Yes.
Thank you. Senator Menard.
Good morning. I'm Senator Menard from Senate District G, and I'm here, of course, to promote and see if I could get passage of Senate Bill 43. I think everything's probably been said. I'm not going to reiterate and keep you here much longer, but I think it is an important bill to go ahead forward with. We've attempted this a couple times. I came in on the scene a little bit later, but there is a really good, strong testimony, and the sooner we can pass this out, I think it'll be a very respectful thing to do to the community, the Native community, and I would appreciate the passage of this.
Thank you. Any questions?
Out of the committee. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll have one.
Senator,
Mr. Chair. Do you think it's disrespectful to vote against this?
I'm going to keep those opinions to myself.
But you brought
Senator
it up.
Gatto.
You said it would be respectful to pass.
I didn't frame it that way. Thank you. I don't believe, through the chair to Representative Gatto, that I framed it that way. I just thought it is very respectful to the Native community to go forward with this.
Senator Gatto?
I'm fine.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you very much. We've heard everybody who signed up today. Obviously, I'm going to attempt to put this on agenda at the very next meeting, which is going to be Tuesday, to take some kind of action you know, one way or the other on it, so we know, so we can bring a closure to this and know what's happening with it. But it's
thank you.
There's not enough time here. To, you know, it is a debatable thing, which is why we have a committee meeting.
Yes.
So it's not figured we go on the floor in about 15 minutes.
Okay.
Two of our representatives are not here.
Representative Lynn, is it your intention to take additional testimony?
No, I'm going to close public testimony.
Okay, yeah. All right, and I appreciate that because these wonderful people are
and
taking
I want
their
thank
time out of their day.
Both individually and as a group, everybody who came here and gave their heartfelt testimony. It was very impressive. It's a good history lesson for all of us.
Thank you.
So I'm going to close public testimony on this. It's our intent to bring this up at the next State Affairs meeting, which we expect to be Tuesday. The schedule has not been put together yet. We have to have that in by 4 o'clock this afternoon. But whatever, it's a bill that's been previously heard. We don't have a notice. Our next meeting, folks, will be Tuesday, no meeting tomorrow. Bills begin to just begin to stack up from our friends in the other body down there. So we have a lot of bills to hear before now in the end of the session, and we'll try to get to as many as we possibly can. We will get to yours.
Thank you.
We are adjourned at 10 after 10.